wanted to learn today, Parshas Hazin, a little bit. For many years we learned the Ishbitz, Meshiloyach and Hazinu. And I think there's some really interesting, fresh insights that his Einikel, the Tiferes Yosef. So the Pasuk in Hazinu, the first Pasuk after Sheni, says, Zechori Mois Oilam, remember the days of the world, the days of old. Binu Shnois Doivadoir, think about the years of each generation. Shal Avicho, ask your daddy. V'yageitcha, he'll tell you. Zekeinecho, ask your Zayde v'yoymerulach. Your Zaydes will tell you. Behanchel en yo goyim, behanchel elyoin goyim. When the Most High gave the various inheritances to the different nations, b'hafridoi b'nei odam, when he split the family of man into the different nations, yatzev gevulois amim, and set up the boundaries of folk, l'mispa b'nei Yisrael, according to the numbers of the B'nai Yisrael. There's a pshat that there are 70 families of man, 70 racial types, because the Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim with 70 kinderlach, and so the Jewish people like a microcosm of the world, that each Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on, that each of them is like a different nation, and in mirrored in the big world out there, the different families. Because God's portion is His people, Yaakov Chevel Nachlosai, the plot of God's small holding, so to speak, is Yaakov. So when God unrolls His deeds, you know, what does He have from this world that He created? Which is, what's His real estate that's registered there in the land registry? This is Yaakov. Yimtzoeu be'eretz midbar, found him. You can find him in the wilderness, in the land of Israel. Besoili le'yishimin, in the howling waste. Yisoyvevenhu yivoynenehu yitzrenekishin enoi. The Ishbitzer has interesting, just one kind of line that he says. If you take the whole Torah, the whole Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the five books of Moses, and you wrap it all up and you take out the essence, you get to the Shiras Hazinu, you get to this song at the end of Deuteronomy. Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabero, lend me your ears, O heaven, and I will speak. Sishma Ha'oretz Imrefi, let the earth hear the words of my mouth. So that this song, which God commanded Moshe to write and to put into the mouth of the Yidden, this song represents the whole Torah. That really all the commandments and the history and then the provocations and the narrative and the laws and the dikdukim and the temple ritual and the stories, Alice Zayshain. But if you want to boil it down and you read the Song of Hazinu, then the Ishbitzer says, and if you take the whole Hazinu, which represents really like a blueprint of what it is to be a Yid, you can boil it down to one Pasuk. The 32nd chapter of Devorim, Pasuk Tes, the 9th verse, Ki chelek Hashem amoy. Because God's portion is His people. Now it's interesting that the Ishbitzer always says that in the ninth Pasuk, from the beginning of the Sedra, there's always something deep, 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 but much deeper than appears to the eye. The ninth Pasuk of Hazinu is Ki chelek Hashem amoy. What does God have from the whole world? What did he want? What did he take for himself? Right? So the Medrash talks about, you know, how the various nations of the world came, and God says to each of the gods, You think that if people believe in you, you'll be powerful? Because everybody knows, you know. If you believe in something, it becomes powerful. So this God says, yeah, yeah, if you give me access to human beings, I can be powerful and throw you off the throne. So God says, nem de vodevilst, take. So this one takes the Egyptians, right? And this one says, I'll take the Canaanites. And this one says, I'll take the Aztecs. This one says, I'll take the Russians. And each God takes himself a nation. And Nebuch, when it's all over, who's the Ribbono Shel Olam left with? The Yidelech, right? So of course, it's clear that for the Eibishter to be left with us, he must have been cheating all the time, right? When he was throwing dice with his Getchkes. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam says? I trust my Yidelech that their faith in me will make me the most powerful God. So, the Ribbono Shel Olam has faith in us, and we have faith in Ribbono Shel Olam. That's really the structure of the Godhood. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam is who we say he is. The Ribbono Shel Olam, even after we, you know, go through the Holocaust and we go through the Shoah and we go through the gas ovens and we go through what we go through, we still say, yeah, 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 that's all true, but the Ribbono Shel Olam can do whatever he wants. God is all-powerful, God is almighty, God is omniscient, God is omnipotent, God is everywhere, ha-makom, God is the makom of the world is not the makom of God, and so on. But if that's the case, so then why didn't God save you when what these people in Auschwitz, in the Warsaw Ghetto, what they didn't do tshuva in 1940, in 1941, in 1942? What, do you think they didn't cry? You see, they didn't get saved. We say, we don't care. We believe. We didn't change. Our faith when God brought us out of Egypt, God says, Zechati la chesed noraych, I remember the chesed, you know, a brother and sister are not allowed to have a sexual relationship with each other, it's called chesed. God says, Zechati la chesed noraych, I remember the sex that we had. Lech teich acharai bamidbar, you were so crazy about me. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Chevre, let's go. We didn't say, wait a minute, we don't have diapers, you know, wait a minute, let's go in the morning, you know, first let me, gunished. He said, all right, where's God? He's in the wilderness. Okay, let's go. Lech teich acharai bamidbar be'eretz lezeru. God says, I remember those days. We were really hot for each other, right? And you didn't care what the consequences were. You were just going to follow me into the wilderness because you wanted to be with me. And, you know, we say the same to God. God says, you didn't change. And we say to God, no, you didn't change. So, the Radzina says here, Zechor Yemois Olam, remember the days of yore, Binu Shnois Toi V'Dor, understand the passage of the generations. So he says, what does it mean, Zechor Yemois Olam, remember the days of Olam? He says, Olam means He'elam, it means hiddenness. He says, remember what it felt like when you were going mad. Remember what it felt like when you were mamish going crazy. When you thought you were never going to get back, when God was completely hidden. Hatshuke shehoye loy lo'odam be'eis hazois shehashem izborach yo'e loy ha'hesteva ha'helem. A few weeks ago I was asked to speak at a 12-step meeting, and I said, you know, I'm jealous of that time when I first got sober and I was going mad. Some days, especially in those first 90 days, some days it felt like my guts were being torn out, right? It felt like I had a cement mixer going around and around in my stomach, and I thought, Mamish, I'm going mad. Somebody help me, please. Of course, before that, if I had such a feeling, no, Shoin, light up a smoke, suck it down, you'll feel better in a minute. Right? So when you stop taking whatever it is, whether it's food or sex or drugs or rock and roll, doesn't matter, whatever it is that we use to fill ourselves up with sound, with noise, with whatever, when we cut all that stuff out, then we become aware that there's something inside that Mamish wants to eat us alive. It's like, I'm imploding, please. And then, no, time passes, and the sharpness of that hunger, the confusion, the please help, it passes, you know, the edge gets worn away, and as time passes, you know, we settle down, we get a life, basically. You're paying the rent, you're paying the mortgage, you're paying the this, and you're paying the school, and basically you're paying out, you're working, Avada, you're working, you're dealing, you have a family, you have a wife, you have children, you deal with all the things that you didn't do when you were out using, right? So life comes and takes away each thing that you have to deal with. It takes a little of the awareness of that hole, of that emptiness that we have inside. So I was sharing how I really miss it in a way. I really miss that sharp hunger, which Mamish, today I realize that feeling of going Meshigah, that was as close as I ever came to God. Because I was in touch with that really deep, profound desire, which is the Shekhinah inside me, because that's God. That's God's feeling of desire. We talk about the Rotzo in HaPoshet. I wonder if I could prevail on you to press *6. So, V'hatshuka, so Zechoir Yemois Oilam, the Tiferes Yosef says, try and remember the days of He'elam, the days when God was hidden and missing. And he says, Ki zois hatshuka she'odom yesh li behelem, zois hatshuka hoileches imay achekach bekol minei protim. Because if you can remember what it felt like to be in that state of rawness, to be in that state of longing, to be in that state of I'm going mad if I don't get filled up, if you can hang on to that, you'll find that is the motive, that is the power, that is the force that drives everything you do in life. It doesn't matter whether you're worshiping God, it doesn't matter whether you're with your wife, it doesn't matter whether you're eating, it doesn't matter if you're working. Down underneath, if you look to see where does it come from that you have the power to just turn up again and again, to keep turning up. Yeah, you could say, again, in the morning, I wake up in the morning, why do I get out of bed? I'm not hungry, I'm not thirsty, I could still sleep. What is it that wakes me up? Well, there's a little narrative in my head that says Hershey didn't wake up, he missed his job, he got fired, he couldn't pay his rent, he got evicted. You know, you could say that there's this whole narrative that happens inside that gets me out of bed. Or, on a deeper level, the Radzin is saying, on a deeper level, the Zayde used to say, Zechoiri mois oilam, remember that hidden, remember that feeling of being disconnected. You want to know what gets you up in the morning? Still somewhere inside you, there is a part of you that doesn't feel it's connected, and it drives you, it drives everything that you do. Ki chelik Hashem amoy. So, you know, he said, the Gemara says, we learn from the pasuk in Iyov Melefinu Mibhamois Eretz Meoif Hashemayim Yichakmenu that if El Molei Lo Nitna Torah, if the Torah hadn't been given, so then we would learn by looking at animals, we would learn tznius from the cat, and we would learn stealing, not stealing from the ant, and we would learn faithfulness from the dove and derech eretz from the cockerel. So the Ishbitzer says, you know something? We would learn from the goyim as well. From the Germans, we would learn how to ordnung, right? We would learn how to do things like this. And from the Americans, we would learn can do. And from the British, we would learn about majesty, royalty, chvaisos. From each nation, we would learn something that we need to learn. Ki chelik Hashem amoy, Yaakov chevel nachalosoy. Because the bottom line, he says, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there inside that confusion that we have. That confusion that we have is what connects us, it's what drives us, and really, why does the Torah, why did Moshe Rabbeinu in this song say, Zechor Mois Olam, remember when God divided the world What's the connection between this remembering the confusion we have, remembering the longing that we have, and then talking about when God divides the world, and then saying, and Chelik Hashem Amoy. So he says, because it's only if we can remember the Helem, if only we can remember what it felt like when we first became aware that we're disconnected, then we can use everything that we see as a lesson, as a Torah, and then we will discover that underneath it all, you know why the Germans were created? For us to learn something. Just like, why was the cat created? I need to learn something. Everything in the whole world is just a lesson. So, then the Radzina talks about the Gemara. The Gemara says, there are two kinds of tshuva. There's the tshuva meyira and tshuva mahava. And you know, the Haftorah that we said, Shuvi Yisrael Shem Nekecha, ki choshalto ba'avoynecha, because you have stumbled. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you stumbled? You're a sinner. You didn't stumble. Stumbles, yes, you tripped over something, you know. You picked up the burger, you thought it was a kosher burger from kosher burgers, and it turns out it was really from McDonald's. I stumbled, right? I stumbled. You went out, and you did something wrong. So the Gemara says, well, it became a shoigeg, it became an accident because you did tshuva. You did tshuva, tshuva meyira, then it becomes an accident. And you know what? It can become a mitzvah if you do tshuva me'ahavo. So there's these two kinds of tshuva. If you repent from fear, then the things that you did be considered, they were accidents. If you do tshuva from love, then the things that you did become mitzvahs, zochiyos. God says, thank you. It's hard to believe, right? When I murder someone in cold blood, and then I do tshuva, it becomes a mitzvah. So, the Ishbitzer says in the name of Izaida, what does it mean, tshuva meyira? What does it mean, tshuva me'ahava? You know, the problem so much is that we use phrases and terms from our childhood that we never really stop and think maybe has another meaning, you know? So we learn something when you're 6, 10 years old, tshuva me'avo, tshuva me'yira, and then we're stuck in the paradigm of what yira and ahavo means when you're 10 years old. Zukt the ishbitza like this. Ein pirushoi sheshov machmas yira sa'inish. That's not meaning of tshuva me'yira, that he's doing tshuva because he's afraid of being punished. Tshuva me'yira means a person is where he's supposed to be. V'rak shelo nikva oid etzle b'kvias goma. You know, what does it mean, teshuva? It means to stand face to face with God. What does that mean? You know, it's a very hard thing to stand face to face with God. It means to be in the presence, to be aware. To be aware that you are divine. If you're in the presence of God, if you are ponim beponim with God, then poirish means kepoirish min hachayim. Then turning away feels like death. You know, you're driving on the highway. I become very aware of this in Los Angeles because everything is fast. Even just driving on the streets, regular streets, it's 35 miles an hour. Wherever you go in Illinois, you're in a built-up area, Illinois, other places, Michigan, Wisconsin, you're in a busy area where people cross the streets, 25 miles an hour max, right? You do 40 miles an hour, you're already 15 miles over the limit, you get your license suspended, right? Here, even like on these streets full of people, it's 35 miles an hour is the basic speed limit. And people passing you doing nearly 50 miles an hour, buses, trucks, you're driving, right? You get into the highway and, you know, it says 70 and people are passing you at 95, you know. So I'm still half Midwestern and I'm very aware that if I drive into that concrete pillar there, it's finished, right? I suppose after a time a person can become unaware, right? And you drive down the road without this awareness of the closeness of the imminence of death at 90 miles an hour, right? It's possible. Devil, I'm still there where I'm terrified, right? So, ponim beponim means I'm aware of what I'm doing to the point where I know if I lose concentration, I'm dead. That's it. That's ponim beponim with God. Kepoirish is poirish minachayim. Walking away, turning my face, right? I know if I stop to dial on the telephone because I need to speak to someone while I'm driving there at 90 miles an hour surrounded by all this, but I'm dead. So I don't. I hold on the thing with both wheels and my wife wants to talk to me. It's like, not now, darling. I'm trying to negotiate this, like there's 11 lanes of traffic here. I want to live. That is Taich Tshuva. Now, there's two kinds of feelings when I'm driving like that. One is terror, because I'm afraid that I'm going to lose it. I don't feel confident. It's strange, it's new, I don't know this road. I'm just terrified. And the other is, I'm cruising. I've done this so many times that I don't care how fast everybody could increase their speed by 200 miles an hour, and I would just go with the flow. Yeah, I'm aware that if I lose concentration, dunk, dead. But I know this road, I know these cars, I know my car, I know the weather, everything's, I'm cruising, no worries. The difference between those two states of mind, says the Ishbitzer, is tshuva me'yira and tshuva me'ahava. I'm in the awareness of my driving. I'm in the awareness, okay, let's take it to my worship. I'm in the awareness that I'm in the presence of God, and if I walk away from here, it's like dying, right? I'm walking away from my life. I'm here in my life, but I'm terrified that I'm going to lose it. I'm terrified that I'm going to be distracted. I'm terrified that something's going to happen and pull me out. Huh? I'm still in Yiro. At this point, all the averas that I've done are shoygigs. If I do lose it, I'm not going to be punished. And then, it's like the other world, the world out there doesn't even exist for me. Because I'm cruising. I'm in the presence. Yes, I know if I lose it, or not, but I'm not going to lose it. I'm cruising. I know, I feel really confident in myself. I feel really confident in where I am. And my concentration is not going to break. I guess a little bit like, you know, when you approach if a doctor is doing an operation, right? So before the operation, it's like, it's never been done before, I've never done this before, and you know, what happens if I do it wrong, right? And then you get to do the operation, and it's like, all those fears are still there, but that part of your brain, which is the professional's, taken over, right? And the same when you're davening for the amud, if you're a concert pianist, it doesn't really matter. There's the part which is afraid, and then there's the part which is in the music, right? Which is in the operation, which is doing the thing, which is really not connected to those fears. Doesn't really have time. They're out there, right? That already, the Ishbitzer says, that's tshuva me'ahava. At that point, the things that you did wrong have become mitzvahs. It's really interesting. Why that should be? Doesn't really say. Unless we go back and understand that the Helem, Zechor Yemois Olam, means to remember the feeling of being disconnected. That feeling of being disconnected is essential, that, or rather, the awareness that there is such a thing of that feeling of being disconnected is essential to my performance in the thing that I'm doing right. Without that awareness of how badly things could go wrong, without having half a brain at least that is aware of the dangers, my performance isn't really going to have that snap, crackle and pop. So my connection, even being in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shlem, you know, being in this beautiful music, right? You know, we sit there and we daven on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, and some of the tefillos are gewalt, gewalt, gewalt. Why at that moment should I have to think of what it felt like when I woke up after doing a really disgusting aveira? Why? Why does it have to, why is it important? Why can't I just be in the feeling of exaltation, of being in the music of the Nesana Toikef? It doesn't really matter which of it is, of the Kaddish before Musaf. I mean, there are moments in the davening which are like pure, pure. Right? So what I need to muddy it with the awareness? The Ishbitzer says, no, That has to be somewhere, because the drive of who we are and where we're getting to and the whole Geschichte is important, because we're human beings. We operate on this tension. I remember somebody once brought me back from Spain. It was a little donkey called Pedro, and it had a little hat on it, and it stood on a little plastic plinth, but all of his limbs were hollow, and they had this little cotton thread. And then if you put your thumb underneath the plastic plinth and you pressed upwards, there was a spring inside this hollow plinth, and when you pressed upwards, it released all these threads, and the donkey like starts to kneel, and finally collapses, looks like dead. And then you let go, and it pulls tight all these little threads, and the donkey springs up and stands straight. And I thought to myself, psst, that's me, you know. The tension is what makes me stand up straight. When I'm completely relaxed, it's like there's no performance, right? At the end of the Sedra, well, actually, it says Yimtzei Be'eretz Midbar. He finds him in the wilderness. And the Gemara says, it brings a medrash. Minayin she'ovois olu b'machshova. How do we know that the patriarchs arose in the original thought? She'nema kanovim b'midbar matzosi Yisrael. It says in the prophet Hosea, like a vine, a grapevine in the wilderness, I found Yisroel. So he asks, the Gemara is saying, how do we know that the patriarchs were there before the creation, the original thought that God had to create the world? And he brings his pasuk, I find like a grape in the wilderness, like a grapevine in the wilderness, I find it. So he says, why wilderness? Why is wilderness before creation? After creation, you could say there are two kinds of country. There's like habitable country where people can live, and places which is too wild, right? We call wilderness because people can't live there. So why does it talk about before creation as being a wilderness? So he says, Ola b'machshava, the idea of the original thought doesn't mean before creation. It's still there. It says, Adoin oilam, Hashem Molach b'terem kol yitzir nivro le'es na'aso b'cheftzui koel azay melech shmoy nikris. Like, as another one of those very interesting contradictions. It says, Adoin Oilam, Master of the Universe, Hashem Molach b'terem kol yitzir nivro. You were king, you ruled, you were sovereign before anything was created. We know that's not true, right? Ein melech beloy am. You can't be a king unless there's people to crown you. Unless there's people to say your majesty, right? I mean, what's a king, right? And yet it says Adoin Olam Hashem Molach b'terem kol yitzir nivro, right? Okay, so let's say that God is such a gewalt king, he can be a king without anybody. And then it says le'es na'as, a certain time everything was made. Then he gets called king. All right, wait a minute. You said he was king before creation. So the Tiferes Yosef brings this very interesting medrash, which I never really could understand. It says, talks about the first verses of Genesis where it says, and the earth was void and waste, and there was darkness on the face of the deep. Eilu maseim shel rishoyim. These are the acts of the evil people. Vayom elokim yihi or. God said, let there be light. Eilu maseim shel tzadikim. These are the acts of the righteous. So then the Medrash says, Aval eini yodea, I don't know, be'ezimem chofetz, I don't know which God prefers. Does he prefer b'masa elu, b'masa elu? Does he prefer the acts of the righteous or the acts of the wicked? When it says, and God saw that the light was good, that tells us that God prefers the acts of the tzaddik. So what? The Hava Mina? If not, the Torah told us that God prefers the light over the dark. I might have thought that God prefers the dark. Yeah? Why would I think that? So, he says, God says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I'm God, I don't change. And the Gemara says, I'm God before you sin, I'm God after you sin. What difference does it make? You know, the idea that we somehow make God great, where did you get such an idea from? God needs us? God doesn't need us. We get so caught up in this narrative sometimes that we forget that, you know, God needs us. Novus, there's a narrative, and then underneath the narrative, there's a relationship that God has. Chilik Hashem Amoy. I might have thought, you know, if you read the book of the five books of Moses, and you have a look, ask a goy, where does Kvod Shemayim happen? Who really, in the five books of Moses, who really creates the glory of heaven? You have to say, well, Pharaoh. He really gives God a chance to flex his muscles, right? If not for Pharaoh, there wouldn't be the 10 plagues, there wouldn't be the Exodus from Egypt, there wouldn't be the splitting of the Red Sea, all that stuff that comes from Pharaoh, right? What comes from the Eden? Miserable, right? We keep stumbling. We're very nice, you know, but Kvod Shemayim, we grumble, we rebel. You want to know where the glory of heaven comes from? It comes from the Maaser Rishuyim. You know, when does God get to, like, show off? You know, when Korach rebels, it's like the earth opens up. You could argue that really, you know, it's not from the goody-goodies that the glory of heaven comes, from the baddie-baddies. Novus. Yes, it's true. The Ishbitz is saying, yeah, it's true. The Gemara is also saying, the Magi is also saying, yeah, it's true. But God says, you know what? I'd rather have the imperfect tzaddikim who keep on trying and failing. Why? Because deep down inside, I know, God says, Chelik Hashem Amui. Deep down inside, I know that this tzaddik, these yidalech, who keep on getting things wrong, you and me, we don't try hard enough, right? Fair enough, we don't try hard enough. We should try much harder. We should be really working at it. Gewalt. But doch, inside, all of us, we remember what it is that wakes us up and says, Heshiu, what's happened? What happened to you? Where's, like my father used to say to me, Heshiu, don't you feel it in your water? Don't you feel it in your kidneys? Like what you just did? Like, it's not right? We all remember those moments. Half our lives, three quarters of our lives are spent thinking, oi, where was I? What was I thinking? How could I have done such a thing? Yeah, it's true that from the Groyser Rusha, from Paroi and from Humon, there's all these Groyser Nisim and the whole world can see. Well, so it's the whole world. God says, I don't care the whole world. It's not about the whole world. If it's about the world, then le'es nasa b'cheftze koil azai me'ilach shemoy nikro. Then God becomes king when those rishoyim fall into the sea and this one gets hung in it. Yeah, no. But adoin oilam ashem molach b'terem kol yitzia nivro. I was king before anything was created. Why? Because of you. Because you in your kishkes, you keep on coming back to me and say, "Ay, why am I not better than I am? Why am I not connected like I used to be connected? What is the matter with me?" That is the Zechor Yemois Oilam, the Halam. That is the darkness and the confusion that I keep on reminding myself of what I don't have and what it feels like to want and what it feels like to want to want. And I, when I first got sober and gewalt, I knew what I wanted. I knew that I just wanted the pain to go away because I couldn't stand it today. It's like halavai. I could even remember what it felt like to feel that way. I wish I felt that way. Then, Kanovim Bamidbo, Ebon Shalem says, you know, in that place, that's the Midbar, that's the wilderness, where we don't have a moment's peace because we keep on thinking, Ay gewalt. And you know what? That's Ola B'machashovo. That is the meaning of Ola B'machashovo, not because Ola B'machashovo means this arose in the thought. No, because the desire that we're feeling in that helam, in Zechor Yemois Oilam, that is the original desire. That is the infinite desire. That is the Rotzoin HaPoshet. Of course we can't stand it. It's an infinite desire. We're just human. I want to bless you and me that we have a beautiful Yom Kippur, and that we be blessed to feel, even if it's only for a moment, that feeling of oi, what it was like to want to be connected, and also that we all get a chance to feel that feeling of gewalt. I don't care how fast the pace gets, I'm cruising, I'm fine. And then all our zedoinos, nasi kezochias, and all everything that we've ever done wrong, it becomes a mitzvah.